Hi, David here, and welcome back to the channel. Looking at the automatic writings of the early 20th century medium, James Paget. In the last video, we looked at two messages James received in November 1915. The second was from Helen, Paget's wife, telling us about her experience of how people in spirit care for children who die before being born, or who die as very young children. That message involved some discussion of how the spirit world relates to this one and how that affects relationships between people. So I thought it would be helpful to look at two messages James received, giving a description of some of the different places within the spirit world. You'll often hear mediums and other spiritualists talking about the spirit world, almost as if it's one place, but it definitely isn't. There are many different places and levels in spirit, even to the extent of worlds upon worlds. We've already seen that spiritualism traditionally thinks in terms of seven spirit spheres or heavens, or simply levels of existence, with each of those having different planes or sublevels, each with its own wide range of particular environments. One of the new pieces of information in the Paget messages is that there are additional spheres or heavens beyond the seventh spiritual heaven, to which those who share in divine love are suited. So there's a lot here to describe, especially once we start asking questions as to who is suited to each of these spheres and why. It shouldn't come as any great surprise that there are lots of different places or settings in spirit, just as there are in this world. It's a perfectly natural question to ask what it's like in spirit, but it inevitably depends who you ask. If you were to send 100 questionnaires out across this world asking for a description of life on Earth, only to receive back 100 identical answers, you would likely be very suspicious. 100 different answers might be hard work to make sense of, but would at least be more believable. 100 identical answers are a pretty clear indication that all of your questionnaires have ended up in the hands of the same person. This is also an important reminder that if you ask someone in spirit what it's like over there, the answer they give you can only reflect their experience. With the two messages we're going to look at in this video, we have the advantage of hearing from two people who are inhabitants of those spheres that in the Paget messages are referred to as the celestial heavens, meaning the ones beyond the seven spiritual heavens. So they're both people who have achieved a high degree of spiritual development through divine love, and have personal experience of either inhabiting or visiting the spheres they describe. Both messages were received by James Paget on December 22nd, 1915. The first message is from someone called John B. Comes. There's no indication whether or not this is someone James knew during his earthly life, and it seems to be the only message this person ever wrote, but it's a fascinating message. I'm going to look at this one first because it describes those spheres closest to the physical earth and to which most people go upon leaving this world. The message begins, "I desire to write you a short time to inform you of certain truths which you should know pertaining to the spirit life and to what mortals who lead the lives of good and pure men may expect and be assured of realizing. I am in the celestial spheres, but I shall not speak of these spheres, but only of the spiritual spheres, where men, after they become disembodied spirits, may live and experience a happiness which they on earth have no conception of. When a spirit first enters the spirit world, it receives a welcome from someone or more spirits whose duties are to receive such spirit and take it to the place where it is suited to live or exist. Interestingly, most of the examples I've seen of this process show that this is a particular task that is taken on by certain people in spirit. So the first person we meet when we pass over may not be someone we know, but it is still someone we can trust to know what they are doing. The message continues, such spirit is then permitted to meet its friends and relatives and to commune with them for a short or long time and receive whatever consolation such friends or relatives may be able to give it. And in many cases, the gladness or happiness of these spirit friends cause the spirit to believe that it is in heaven, or at least in a place of great happiness. But after this first interview, the spirit must, by reason of the law of attraction, go to the place where its condition of soul, or its condition of moral growth or intellectual development fits it for, and there remain until such condition is made better and enables it to rise to a higher place. So there is a reuniting with people we've known and who have gone on before us, but it may only be temporary if they have attained a degree of spiritual development that suits them to places we ourselves are not yet suited to. The happiness people feel at these reunions can give the impression that we have passed to a place of happiness, but whether or not that's true very much depends on whether we ourselves are suited to a place of happiness. Others who are more highly developed than we are will meet us in a place or plane of our suiting, not theirs, simply because it is not possible fully to perceive a place that is beyond our spiritual awareness. Putting it another way, people who are more highly developed than I am can visit me, but I cannot visit them. And the law of attraction means they are not suited to doing anything more than visiting me for a time. So the time comes when they must leave. Also, if you recall the first message we looked at from Laura Burrows, James Padgett's cousin, she bemoaned the fact that she had not met anyone she knew because she had put herself in a condition where they could not approach. So the only person she will have met would be the spirit tasked with conducting her to whatever place she was suited to, presumably someone she did not know personally. Yet, as we saw, Laura was able to make good progress between then and her follow-up message a couple of years later. Padgett's spirit communicator, John Comies, goes on to say, no spirit, after it once gets into the place that it is suited for it to live in, ever retrogrades, although it may stand still for a long number of years and never make any progress. But this is a truth not known to a great many mortals, and spirits also, that the condition of the mortal at the time he becomes a spirit fixes his condition and place of living when he first enters the spirit world. After he is put in such a place by the law of attraction, as I have said, and when once that place is found and occupied, the spirit never goes to a lower place, but either will stay in that place for a long time or will progress, and ultimately, in all cases, will progress. John Comies talks of when someone becomes a spirit. Obviously, we are spirits or a soul, even while we inhabit physical form. So in saying this, he simply means the point in time when we become a spirit without a physical form. The day when this happens is, for each and every one of us, our own personal judgment day. That is the day when our initial residence in spirit is determined according to our spiritual nature. So be in no doubt that judgment day is individual. Equally, do not be under the illusion that it is delayed beyond the point of death. It isn't. So long as we continue in physical form, there is the opportunity to progress by improving our spiritual nature. If we take that opportunity, our starting point in spirit improves correspondingly. never waste a single day. At this point, Padgett seems to ask John Comes as to what happens to people we might call evil. He replies, "Well, the evil spirits find these places of habitation on the earth planes, which are many and of varied kinds, having many different appearances suited to the conditions of the spirits who will occupy them. A spirit who is in the lowest of these earth planes is said to be in the lowest hells, as all spirits who are in these planes where they suffer and encounter darkness believe and say they are in hell. But this is merely a name used for convenience, for the hells are merely places forming a part of the one great universe of God. Those hells, as you may imagine, are very numerous, for the conditions of spirits are very varied, and each spirit has a place in which to live fitted to its condition. As the spirit becomes freed from some of these conditions, which as to them causes the law of attraction to work, he progresses to a higher and better place, and finds that his surroundings are not so dark and painful. As this progression continues, such spirit will ultimately find himself in the planes of light and comparative happiness, where the evil recollections have to a large extent left him. And the good deeds which he did on earth then come to him and cause a happiness that makes him realise that he was not all bad, and that God has been good to him in relieving him from the sins and evil thoughts which bound him to the place from which he has progressed." So if we think in terms of the old Roman Catholic hierarchy between heaven, purgatory and hell, we find we need to revise our ideas somewhat. We can see from what John Comes tells us that hell is purgatory, a place where the scars left on the soul by our evil deeds are gradually purged from us. Also, hell, or the earth planes, is not one place, but is instead a wide range of environments, finely calibrated to accommodate each soul who passes over. Collectively, the earth planes form the first sphere, the lowest of the spiritual heavens, and the one closest to the heavy conditions of earth. In the Padgett messages, the first sphere does tend to be referred to as the earth planes or hells, through which those living there are able to make progress. This reinforces what we learned in the last video, 115, that there is no such thing as a sin that cannot be forgiven. So the possibility of progress through the earth planes is available to everyone who begins their spirit life in that part of the universe. John Comes continues, "But after all this, he has not gotten into any of the spheres which are above the earth planes, and he may have to remain there for a great many years before he enters the second sphere, which is next in gradation to the earth plane. This latter plane, the second sphere, is the most populous of all the spheres, for it has spirits coming to it in great numbers, in greater numbers than are progressing from it to higher spheres. And hence it has a greater variety of subplanes than has any of the other spheres, and is filled with a great variety and kind of spirits than are any of those higher spheres." We noted in a previous video that the majority of people who pass to spirit find themselves initially in the second sphere. And here John Comes confirms this for us. What he adds is that the rate at which people are entering spirit in the second sphere is greater than the rate at which they are moving on from it. So it is gradually increasing in extent. John goes on to say that when a spirit has remained in the earth planes a sufficient length of time to put him in condition to go to the next higher sphere, he makes his progress and is never prevented from doing so. I do not mean to say that the spirit is compelled to remain in the earth planes any particular number of years before progressing, for this is not true. On the contrary, the number of years that he remains there is determined by his condition of progress, so that some spirits may go through these planes in less than a year, and others may remain there many years. So not only is Judgment Day entirely individual in its outcome, so is the rate at which we progress from the place we are initially judged as suited to. Both of these are the outcome of choices we make day by day along the way in this world and then in the next. Why then might people be moving on from the second sphere at a slower rate than they are entering it? Keep in mind that people are entering the second sphere from both the earth planes of spirit and directly from the physical life upon earth. John Comes tells us, in the second sphere, appearances are brighter and many opportunities are afforded the spirit to seek for and obtain happiness that he did not have before. And many spirits find great happiness in pursuing their intellectual studies and things of this kind, and in obtaining a knowledge of the laws of the spirit world, governing what you might call the material nature of this world, and also of the earth world. So life in the second sphere sounds like it might not be too bad. Whatever your interests, there are opportunities to explore, free of the daily concerns we live with upon the earth as to food, clothing, accommodation, and all the bills and form filling and other expectations and arguments that life here entails. A lot of people might well call that heaven after the constant pressure of earth life. One of the things people explore is what John Comes calls the material nature of this world. It might sound strange to talk of the material nature of the world of spirit, but the laws of physics extend to the whole of the universe, not just to the bit of it we can perceive with physical senses. People in spirit always say just how real and solid their environment is to them, more so than in this mortal earth plane. Our world seems real and solid to us because our bodies are made of the stuff that our world is made of. In spirit, the same is true of the spiritual body that we retain when we die. It's made of the same kind of stuff as its surroundings, which therefore seem real and solid to people in spirit. In spiritualist literature, the second sphere is the place, or series of planes, environments, often referred to as the Samalands. Whatever the precise place or environment you fit into, this sounds like somewhere you could be contented. Contented people don't tend to push themselves. So perhaps we have an inkling as to why the population of the second sphere is increasing. That said, John Comes goes on to tell us that this sphere is not so well suited for the growth of the soul faculties. And those spirits whose desires and aspirations are for the development of their soul qualities do not stay in this world or sphere for very long, for they do not find that the necessary provisions for such development exists, and as a consequence, they progress to the third sphere, where they find wonderful opportunities, which enables them to progress in these matters of the soul. Well, I see that you are tired, and I will postpone any further writing on these matters to another time. So good night, John B. Comes. So what's lacking in the second sphere? What is John Comes referring to when he talks about soul development? And is that different from the normal conscious mental awareness that we all have? That's what we're going to pick up on in the second message Paget received that evening. I'm going to record that as a separate video, given the length of this one already. But I will upload the two of them together so that you're not left hanging for the next installment. So I shall see you there. But before you go, please do like this video so that the YouTube algorithms get to work and hopefully introduce this series of videos to other like-minded souls. Thank you for watching, and I shall see you in part two.